Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
We welcome you to Close Up Radio Live as we continue a full day of incredible episodes and extraordinary guests who are doing things to really make the world a better place on so many different levels. And somebody that does that every single day and has been living and breathing that is our next guest on Close Up Radio Live, Leslie Boyden of L&E Financial, based in Port Republic, Maryland. Here's something to think about. Imagining your retirement can be indeed powerful and a motivator. Leslie knows this. Leslie Boyden of L&E Financial Services. Her approach aligns with the idea that visualizing your desired future can help you take actionable steps towards achieving it. By envisioning the retired life, you dream about whether it's traveling, spending time with loved ones, or pursuing hobbies. You can set clear goals and work toward them. Planning for retirement can be scary between financial crashes and real estate bubbles, inflation, and all the rest. She teaches clients that your retirement plan is like a stool. You want to have as many legs as possible to keep your stool steady. If you were to retire today, you'd have 8 streams of income earning in the double digits and not just relying on the one. To help everyone better understand the ups and downs of retirement planning, Leslie co-authored Retirement Conquered, How to Secure a Stress-Free and Confident Retirement. The book includes the Sight Code, which Eric and she developed to help readers have 2020 financial vision. Retirement Conquered, which is available at retirementconquered.com, shares details of the author's journeys overcoming financial loss. It also shows how using the Sight Code actually helps construct a financial retirement fortress. Now, L&E Financial is not a fee-based company, so they don't charge their clients fees on appointments. And they're not on the anniversary of their plan, which benefits the client. Really amazing, huh? It's amazing work that Leslie does. We're going to find out more in the next 30 minutes as we have this in-depth conversation with Leslie here on Close Up Radio Live. Again, she joins us from Port Republic, Maryland. Leslie, welcome to Close Up Radio Live. It's a real pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
Oh, you are very, very welcome. You know, as a dynamic, compelling, and sought-after speaker and founder of L&E Financial and co-author of Retirement Conquered, you have really worked hard to help everyone retire comfortably. And you've experienced, you know, things yourself, even after suffering an over 50% financial loss in the 2008 recession. You took that initiative to not roll up your carpet, pull the shades down and hide, but actually explore beyond traditional advice. And so you created this, your own robust financial fortress for retirement, involving the mix of those strategies, diversification, maximizing retirement accounts, investing wisely. And you're really helping clients realize their retirement dreams. Tell us the story of how you really also manifested your dream of winning a 1965 orange Mustang. And I know that perked up everybody's ears right now.
They're like,
how do I do that?
Yeah. First and foremost, even when I was younger, you know, in my IT career, because this is my second career, I always liked fast cars. So I worked with a marketing company that is in Utah. And so I went out there 2 years prior, and they had the Mustang inside of a hotel. It was a red and white striped Mustang, but it was signed by Carroll Shelby. And I was like, oh my God, if I was here sooner, I could have, you know, participated in that. So I went up to the owner and I asked him, I said, are you ever going to do this again? And he goes, we don't know yet. And I said, well, if you do, I am in and that car will be mine. That was 2 years prior. Fast forward 2 years, I went out there for a meeting with the owners, and it was several other people other than myself that were invited. And so I went out there, and I noticed they had an orange Mustang out there with a black stripe. And so I went inside, and I'm like, because I saw everybody standing around the car, and so I went inside and chatted with him for a bit. And so I said, what are you doing with that orange Mustang outside? He says, we are going to market that off, sort of do like an auction kind of thing. I said, okay. I said, when is the meeting start to what? In about 5-10 minutes? He said, yeah. I said, okay. I said, give me 5 minutes. I want to go outside and take some pictures of myself inside and outside the vehicle. He goes, and he laughed, and I said, why are you laughing? He goes, because you're just your enthusiasm. So I said, well, if you're going to do that again, that car is going to be mine, so I have to go have some pictures taken so I have the visual when we, you know, are ready to do all that. So in the interim, I went out there, took my pictures, did everything I had to do, and put a couple pictures out in my office along with that. And so fast forward, part of the routine was you have to earn so many keys. So every weekly meeting, we would get a leadership board, and I would be on that leadership board, and I would be in the one or two, you know, slot. And so I was like, okay, so every week I would repost that up in my office. And so I would work towards that. Some of that could include doing videos, helping you better to speak in front of people or whatever it may be that they had you do. So I did that for a full year. In that interim, also a year later, COVID hit. And so I decided that I need to put the car somewhere, and so I decided to work on my garage. I decided to drywall the garage, redo the flooring. So I was basically looking at this going, I knew what I wanted, I made up my mind, I visualized it, and I planned on how am I going to go and achieve this goal. And so that's what I did. And it became, in some cases, you know, in my Zoom meetings, you know, that we would have weekly, they would ask me, you know, what are you doing? And I'd tell them what I was doing. I said, I'm drywalling the garage. I'm going to paint it and redo the flooring and get it ready for the Mustang. And everybody would pretty much chuckle and laugh because I'm, you know, I'm a female in a man's world of business, so, you know, they just look at it a little differently, I guess. And so lo and behold, that's really what I pursued, and I worked on it, made my mind up. I knew the day of that meeting, we were originally supposed to do it face-to-face in Utah, same way we did 2 years prior with the vehicle inside the hotel, but it didn't work out that way. So they took all the keys, which weren't keys at the time. They used just paper, put your name on it, put it in the trunk. So I knew that day I had a 50-50 shot because I was number one on the leaderboard. So that means I had the most keys. And lo and behold, they pulled my name out. And sure as heck, I won that car.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yep. You know, I've never, you know, you win
stuff.
And
you still have it?
Some people win. I still have it. I use it today for a lot of video promotions. I use it sometimes for car shows to promote my business. So it's become a nice, a valuable
It's a
vehicle.
Family member, yeah.
Yeah, it's become Absolutely. A family member. Yep.
That's what happens. Does the car have a name?
No, it doesn't have a name. I didn't give it a name. When the keys came to me, it had a keychain on there of the Denver Broncos. I have not removed the keychain. The keychain is sort of sticking with me, but that's what it came
right. Part of the car.
Yeah, it was part of the car.
It's like adopting it's like adopting a dog, and if they said, well, the dog is 6 months old and the dog's name is Sparky, and that's what the dog answers to, that's what remains, right? Exactly.
Exactly.
Part of the,
exactly.
Part of the whole history. Now,
yes.
That's a really good positive story, but you've been also very open and real and authentic about even your own financial ups and downs that have compelled you to, as I said in the introduction, not do what some people do, which is roll up the carpet and pull down the shades and disappear. You actually went towards the fire. You compelled yourself to do your own research on how to safely retire. Tell us about that, and because it's very inspiring. What I think is wonderful is when people go through things in life and they go towards the fire. They try to make the best of it, try to figure it out. And then when they learn sort of the tools and methodology, then they want to share it with others and help inspire others like you do. Tell us about that period of the ups and downs and things you've learned and some of the research that you found.
I had a great mentor, which is my dad, who taught me a lot about money, about life, in my early years. I never grew up with money, but I always had a roof over my head. We were always well taken care of, and we also and believe in our faith. So I had that foundation, and so when I was young, I invested a lot in stocks and mutual funds, dealt with the ups and downs of that. I was aggressive. I was taught traditionally on how to save. So realistically, you fast forward, okay, I'm older now. You can't continue to save traditionally. Traditionally is taught that when you retire, you need to have a large nest egg, and that's your pot that you live off of that money that you have in that nest. Because most people work for companies 20, 30, 40 years, and they receive a pension, and you have a guaranteed income for the rest of your life. It doesn't work that way in today's world. So when I lost 50% of my portfolio in 2008, I became a little more conservative. I wanted to retire at 55. I could have, but I chose not to because I felt I deserved better. I started working when I was 15, and so I decided I didn't want to be on a fixed income. I wanted to be able to do what I want, when I want, or order whatever I want on that menu and not have to stay in a particular price range. So I decided to continue to work. I had to rebuild my loss that I lost. So I started to look around and see what is out there and available today. And there's nothing new that's created. It's just revamped over the years. The same assets, they're just redesigned over the years. So I looked at different areas and said, okay, what's out there? If I can't have the big nest egg, what is an alternative? So that was the beginning of going, okay, how do I take what I currently have, preserve what I have, but be able to grow with what I currently have in my bucket of funds, so to speak. So that could range from cash to qualified type funds. How can I protect what I have and not lose more than what I have and be able to build upon that? So that's how I was able to do that, and I just deep dived and looked and said, okay, what's out there? So realistically, there's only the two oldest assets is real estate and insurance as a financial backing. insurance is the only vehicle out there that can provide you guarantees. But a lot of people look at insurance, it's only used for one thing, and that's a death benefit, which is not true. It can be designed in so many different ways, whether it's retirement income or debt consolidation, whatever you may want to use. If you want to use it to use it as your own banking tool, you can. So there's a lot of different areas that insurance as a financial backing really covers. A lot of our large corporations, in order to protect their companies, they use insurance as a financial backing. People don't realize that. Example banks, FDIC, that's exactly what they do. So they do have a lot of their backings within their banking system.
So important, right? Thanks for sharing that story, because I think it's very, very inspiring for others. Now, there's something that you developed with your co-author, Eric Kuhn, called the SIGHT code, S-I-G-H-T, the SIGHT code. Tell us about that. Give us more insight on the SIGHT.
So in there, I have a diagram. It is in our book. But I created both Eric and I created this, and it also gives you a traditional, you know, look, but then it also gives you the alternative side. But each letter in SIGHT code, in the word SIGHT, stands for something. So S is for SIGHT, I is for inflation, G is for growth, H is for healthcare, and T is for taxes. So we utilize that as a foundation to help people, you know, plan for retirement. So to give you an idea of what I do is realistically is I help people protect their assets. I help them to better understand how to leverage their money by utilizing compounding interest and basically having full control of your money. So I really talk about how I can provide an additional insight on the importance of protecting your money from market volatility, inflation, taxes, and health care while creating a supplemental tax-preferred income.
That's great. That's fantastic. That's a great idea, too. And the opportunities are there. Annuities also play into your portfolio, and how to use them to create solid retirement income is something that you show people. Tell us how that happens.
So when I had one of the things that I did do, one of the streams of income, so when I lost that 50%, I basically pulled everything out of the market and I rolled it over into an annuity. So annuities, you know, I call it, it's like an umbrella. It handles cash, traditional IRA, Roth, inherited IRA. It has a plethora of assets that you can use. What attracted me to that is it provides guarantees. And, of course, it's using, you know, insurance as a financial backing. So, and it works like a pension, but it also has on the back end, it has that legacy piece, which can help for family and, you know, upon death. It also tries safety with it. You have liquidity. It is used for a long term. It does provide a tax deferred growth, which helps you better plan for your retirement and knowing what that guaranteed income is. You could have money sitting in a qualified fund, but how do you plan how much you need to last you for 20, 30 years? And that's where people have a really hard time in figuring out what is their income going to be when they retire. If they don't have a plan, then you might as well take that gross income and knock 40% off of it, because you're not getting that same income that you would normally get as if you were working.
There's so many things to learn, so many things to know, and you've really created this way for people in layman's terms to understand it and apply it all, right?
I do. I try to really bring it down and make it, simplify it so people can understand it. Annuities have evolved over the past 10, 15 years. You can now customize it to the way you want it to work for you. You can design it for strictly accumulation, or you can design it for income. You can do whatever you want with it. You can have more than one. You can utilize it as an income stream. You can utilize it, have an annuity, and if they need emergency money, they just turn on that income stream on that particular annuity, or they just take as needed.
Exactly, right, which is great. There's some. It seems like there's some flexibility there, huh?
A lot of flexibility to design it and make it work the way you want. You'll never lose your principal. If you earn any gains in it, then that will be added on, and so that will help that grow. So the longer money is held, the more you will make.
That's right, exactly, which is, again, good to know and something that you are very expert at sharing with your clients, which is so incredibly important. You offer valuable services by not being a fee-based company. How can you actually do it that way? Maybe you can explain it and why you do it that way, because I think next to 1965 Orange Mustang, people hearing fee-based not being a fee-based company is perking their ears up too.
It does. So if you look at it from a fee-based, and let's keep simple terms. So if you had $250,000 and you had an advisor and he was charging you, let's just keep it simple numbers, 1%. So if you think about that $250,000 sitting in a qualified fund for 10 years, that 1% for 10 years is $35,143, roughly, okay? So I don't charge. So I'm actually saving the client money on one end. They don't have to worry about paying. Usually on the average, it's about a 3 to 5% annually for an advisor to charge the fee, for an annual fee, and also to manage their accounts, whether it's including office visits or whatever have you. So I do it more on the back end of it. It doesn't actually come out of their pocket. And so that's what makes me unique in doing that. Because in a lot of times when you sit with an advisor, they may give you 1 hour. 1 hour may not be enough because everybody's situation is different. So that does have a huge play. So if I can save them money, that gives them more money to invest in the long run.
Exactly, because they have more to work with, more available, which is an important part of all of this as well. Really a fascinating conversation. You know, this type of stuff is not taught in schools early, maybe more and more now, generationally it is, but years ago, they never taught any of this, you know, investing and retirement and balancing a checkbook and saving money. And, you know, so for some people, it's like a whole new learning curve and learning experience, right? Because it wasn't something that was necessarily taught or emphasized in the earlier years of schooling.
Absolutely correct. I was just fortunate enough that my father taught me a lot about it, which really helped build my own foundation and for me to be able to do what I do today. I mean, when I was 21 working for a large corporation, They told me about the 401k, but they told me all the pros about it. They never told me about the cons, about the downturns, you know. So that was a real quick wake-up call, you know, learning that on your own with trial and error and, you know, going down that road. But, yeah.
I mentioned this in the introduction as well. Planning for retirement like the legs on a stool. Tell us about that.
So I have 8 legs to my stool. So if you have a stool that you sit on that has maybe 2 legs, it's pretty wobbly. Usually those 2 legs are what? It's going to be, let's say, 401k for an example, and your Social Security. That's all you have. So I decided I wanted more legs on my stool. I just created my 8th one. That was my challenge for myself. So I have 8 legs to my stool. So if I retire today, I can pull streams of income from 8 different ways, which would help me in the future because we can't predict what taxes are going to be. Most likely, they will go up. Inflation, you can't touch it, feel it, see it, but other than I use the grocery store because now when you go in there, now your grocery prices are 40 to 50% higher. So if you're retired, that's eating up more of your nest egg. So how do we combat, how do we keep up with that? I'm going to throw a 3rd one in there, and that's healthcare. Healthcare prices are going up, so how do you combat that also? And when you're planning retirement, you can't predict any of that. So that's where I come in, and I really try to give a different spin on retirement planning and how to look at it and how to build. Most people in this country do not save very well. So that is becoming very huge problem also.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's amazing. Everybody knew how to save those S&H green stamps, but not the actual money.
right. You know, so yeah, I have really grown my business in multiple ways. I do long-term type investments. I do short-term investments. So it really depends on the individual and, you know, trying to either get them on the fast track because they're a little bit behind the eight ball or just helping them organize currently what they have and try to streamline it a lot better.
Folks want to learn more, there are a couple of places they can go. They can go to lefinancialservices.net. That's lefinancialservices.net. As well, you can go to retirementconquered.com. Retirementconquered.com. And Conquered is Conquered, as opposed to like Concord, New Hampshire or something. It's retirementconquered.com. Leslie, this was terrific. Very eye-opening, very inspiring, very hopeful, packed with great information. Thanks for sharing your wit and wisdom and your authenticity about the things you've learned along the way. And you can guide people and show them how they too. And it's never too early and never too late to really focus on these things because, as we know, the world is an unpredictable place, so as much as you can do to set things up, though it's a little bit easier as time marches on, it behooves you to do it. So thanks for joining us on the show, and I look forward to hopefully exploring more, chatting more, maybe hearing testimonials, things of that nature. But I hope you enjoy the time with me as much as I have with you, Leslie.
I did. Thank you very much for your time. Have a great day.
You are very, very welcome. Absolutely. An amazing conversation, right, everybody? Leslie Boyden, that's B-O-Y-D-E-N, of LNE Financial. Jim Masters here thanking you for your time. This time for next time on Close Up Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be back in about 30 minutes with another great guest for you here on the program. Till then, for all of us, have a great day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.